Hi, Steve Cooper, and welcome to another Rank Success podcast. And today's podcast is about high potential and fast track success. So from that, you've probably deduced that I'm talking about the police fast track system or scheme, and I am. And I'll be covering some issues around that today. Now, I'm not going to whip through every stage of all the process because you can go and find out as much about that as you want to, and you'll pick up some tips, some insights, some guidance and direction from this podcast, which I offer really as some food for thought, just to encourage, support and perhaps influence some of your thinking, because I speak to lots of people, and I'll actually, was it now August, I've started getting a couple of calls now about people who are thinking about whether they have potential to go for the fast track scheme and interested in my thoughts. So I thought I'd do this podcast just to kind of add some food into the mix, some food for thought, to encourage you to think, to support your thinking, to challenge it and to respectfully provoke it around this fast track scheme, and your assessment, your thoughts about it at the moment, and whether they might be different afterwards. And so if you're listening to this, I will just go through some of the intro bits around what the fast track scheme is, and then I wanted to share some thoughts around the characteristics of people who are successful in my experience, the people that I've helped to get through, and I'll be going through a couple of their reflections, obviously anonymously. But if we just start really with just the first thought really about whether you kind of believe that you can get through this process, because the fast track scheme is something that's often seen as only for certain people, and there's a whole lot of stuff there that speaks around, you know, self-belief and limiting thoughts. There's a lot of good cops out there, and you may well be one of them who has the potential to succeed in the police fast track scheme. And some people don't go for it because they don't know enough about it. Some of the assumptions and presumptions about it, the people that tend to succeed on it, the people that go on to senior leadership positions, and thoughts and attitudes around the bosses, and you know that they are the favoured few. It's about kind of, you know, cleaning the whiteboard, get rid of your mindset if that is part of your thinking, because that really does hint at something called limiting thoughts or beliefs, and negative thoughts about it that can get in the way. They can really block and be obstacles to you adopting the thought of, you know, could I be successful on this fast track scheme? And I would encourage you, if you've got half an inkling to go for it, then at least do everything you can to explore and find out and get the information in front of you. Now, it's August at the moment, and August 2022, and this process, the fast track process, enforces the pre-process, if you like, starts off in October. So hence I'm getting a couple of calls of people exploring their options. And so first and foremost, I'd say, you know, that you've got to believe that you can achieve it. It is a significant undertaking. It's a really robust kind of process. But when you're in it, you've got to be in it to win it. And you stand as much of a chance of doing that as anybody else if you believe that you do. So if you've formed, if you're still open-minded and you think it's something you'd like to do, and you're currently a serving constable who thinks you've got the potential to go for fast track, then, you know, listen to this, read some of the information and kind of reassess your thoughts and where you are. And, you know, if it's for you, then give it a go. I'll give you as much information as I can now. I've written a blog about it. There is a lot of information you can find out on the College of Policing website. But my kind of stance is, you know, I speak with people who come to me who don't believe. They don't believe in their potential to get through this process. But they've made that decision inside themselves that they want to become a leader, that they can become a leader. And that is a significant thought, a significant development, that you think you've got what it takes to lead other people. So the issue really is, at what level? Because if you're a constable now, the fast track scheme is designed to get you through sergeant inspector, and to realise that potential that you have to achieve the rank of superintendent, a senior leadership position in policing, and if not you, then who? So let's just start there with that point around believing that you can achieve it. So one of the greatest quotes, one of the most well-known quotes around that is, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. So let's just think you can. Okay, let's just stay with that side of the equation or the quote. So the reason that's really, really important is because our relationships and abilities and possibilities are influenced by our beliefs about them. And these beliefs can be really empowering, but amongst them, we all have some limiting beliefs and thoughts. And these are really powerful thoughts, or they can be really powerful thoughts that limit actions, and they can stop you moving forward in life, in your decisions, in your career. And sometimes you're unaware that you have them, or the effect to which they affect you. So some of these is perfectly okay, it's perfectly natural. Some of them are a result of social conditioning, your journey in life to date, now, often from childhood, and they act as your very own filter, if you like, of reality, affecting how you see and experience the world. And these limiting or negative beliefs are also invisible, and they hold you back from success and from achieving your true potential. And the Fast Track Scheme is about assessing potential. Not necessarily where you are now. You're assessed as potential for a superintendent position in due course. Now, obviously, between where you are now and then, that successful outcome, if that's what you want to aspire to, there's a whole load of development work for you to do. And part of that will be in preparation for the assessment centre and getting yourself match fit to be assessed for your potential. But that's okay, that's a way off yet. So this is just about you listening to me and seeing whether I can influence, persuade, support you, inform you, and perhaps inform your own decision making as to what you want to do. So as the owner of these kind of limiting thoughts and beliefs, you can choose to get rid of them. You've got the power to do that. And you can do this through raising your own awareness, which you will do naturally by studying for promotion or certainly for the Fast Track Scheme. You can do it by raising your awareness around how you think, what your approach is, how you naturally tend to approach things, what your strengths are. And sometimes this thinking is described, this negative thinking is described as stinking thinking. And I think it was Zig Ziglar who termed it in that way. And here are some examples, you know. And I hear this all the time, certainly in relation to the general promotion process. It's not a fair process. Well, we can have a whole separate conversation around that. It is what it is, and yes, it changes. But it's not a fair process is a negative thought. It's stinking thinking. I'm not good enough. There are no opportunities. I don't have time. All the wrong people get promoted. I don't have enough experience. Others have a better chance than me. There's no point in applying. I'm too old. I'm too young. It's a waste of time. Now, if any of those are things that you agree with, or that part of your invisible stinking thinking or self-limiting beliefs, one of the ways you can do that is make them tangible, get them out, write them out on a piece of paper and acknowledge them. Identify and acknowledge any self-limiting, you know, or negative beliefs. Make them visible to yourself. And here's a clue, everyone's got at least one, so whatever they are, get them down. And when you've got them down, you can use a little technique called reframing to deal with them. So one of the ways of dealing with the thoughts, these thoughts, and getting rid of them is to reframe them. And that's a technique for altering negative or self-defeating thought patterns by deliberately replacing them with positive, conscious self-talk. And it's about changing your perception by understanding something in another way. So I don't have enough time, when reframed, becomes I prioritise the things that are important to me. Now clearly you're not going to prioritise a fast track system if it isn't important to you. And it may not be important to you at the moment as a result of some of your negative beliefs about it. So this is about just opening up your thoughts for a moment to accept whether you could reframe some of those thoughts and then adopt a different kind of stance to the opportunity of the fast track scheme. So some other examples of limiting thoughts or beliefs when they're reframed: I'm not confident enough. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, I've had that thought a lot of times ahead of a process or a test or a challenge, and that's okay. So I'm not confident enough, when reframed, begins or becomes confidence starts with insight about my limits. So that's very much around doing these assessment tests, thinking about what evidence you've got for promotion, what examples you've got against the competencies, and starting to pick up some insights around those about where you need to develop and your own CPD. So confidence starts with insight about your limits. I wasn't successful previously. Reframed becomes, it was a valuable learning experience. And that's a really important one, because having supported people who've gone for the fast track scheme, who have been successful, they were not, at least, I'm just trying to think, there's at least a couple that I can think of straight away that were not successful previously at the normal or general sergeant's process in their force. And one individual I'm thinking about was unsuccessful twice. So that individual was not going to accept limiting beliefs, and looked upon it very much as a valuable learning experience, and wanted to try again differently. So another thought, limiting thought or belief: I don't know how to prepare. Well, there are people who can help, and hopefully I'm doing some of that now in terms of informing your thinking or stimulating some of your thoughts around it. So if you don't know how to prepare, that's okay, but there are people who can help. Go find them. I'm not good enough. Well, you know, secretly, that's a secret thought for lots of people. And this side of a process, like the fast track process or the promotion process generally, I'm not good enough is a natural thought. Get rid of it, reframe it. I can learn and develop. I can learn and develop. So again, with my own toolkits, my inspector, chief inspector and sergeant's bespoke digital toolkits and 4-hour promotion masterclass, those are services, products, digital guides that can help you in terms of learning and developing. They can certainly support your thinking, and thinking is what you're going to be doing a lot of if you decide that you have what it takes to lead other people, and however you pursue advancement of that to a formal leadership position, whether it's through the normal process in your force or through the fast track scheme. Okay, so I'm not good enough can be I can learn and develop. I can't. Just knock the T off that. I can. That's reframed by knocking one letter off. I don't know enough. Reframed becomes what I don't know, I can learn. And you can certainly learn in relation to most things, but certainly in relation to what we're talking about today, the context of the fast track. You can learn a lot about the fast track process in a very short period of time if you choose to. And as I say, hopefully this podcast is informing and shaping and encouraging some of your thoughts around that. And I'll signpost and direct you to how you can do that, as well as sharing some of my thoughts along the way as we go through this podcast. So we are what we repeatedly say to ourselves, and it takes just as much energy and time and headspace to think about moving towards your goal, to think positive thoughts as to think negative thoughts and things that hold you back. So just have a think around that. You've got to believe that you can do it if you want to go for fast track, and that's about you having an open mind, a thirst for learning, if you like, and understanding that you're about to enter a process to enter a process. And by that I mean you're about to enter a process of learning, developing, getting yourself match fit and readiness to sit a assessment centre for fast track. And for many people that is preceded by an assessment centre or some other formalised process within your force. So perhaps a smaller process around the fast track, in order that your force can put you forward as a recommended candidate. And that's often quite competitive. To achieve anything worthwhile, it requires hard work and determination, dedication and belief in yourself. And I would just encourage you to kind of think about that first, adopt that belief, believe that you can do it, and then start working towards it. And one of the great quotes that I quite like is by Jim Rohn. It's quite a provocative one, but it gets you thinking and it kind of stops you feeling sorry for yourself. And it's, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. So I quite like that because it's quite provocative. Some people certainly take that quote quite provocatively, and I'm not entirely sure why, but I do like it. So believe that you can achieve it is the first part of any kind of steps that you take towards considering the fast track process. Now, the other thing I would say to you is, you know, the fast track process isn't for everyone, but I also see a lot of people who I think have potential to go for it, who have the assumptions and the negative thoughts that I told you about that sometimes hold them back from it. And if we're lucky enough to have a conversation, then I can, as I'm doing in this podcast, share some thoughts and some ideas and encouragement to help see whether people want to reassess their ambition. And why would you want to go for the fast track scheme? Well, lots of reasons, really. You know, and if you're someone who's not ever intending to do that and doesn't want to do it, then, you know, by all means, you can short circuit this podcast now and turn it off. So this is mainly for people who might be in the arena in their heads of thinking about, you know, I'm going for promotion. I'm actually even going to study for the promotion exam this year or next year. And I think next year the College of Policing have just announced for the first time that there will be two promotion exams for sergeants and inspectors, two dates in a year. So two opportunities in a year for people to get promoted. So again, if that's you listening to this, then it may be that when you're qualified, and you know, good luck with that, with preparing, when you're qualified, you may then want to have a look and explore the idea of the fast track scheme. And as I say, hopefully this conversation helps support some of your thoughts around you doing that. But you can certainly start doing some intelligence gathering around it now, even though you're kind of studying for the exam. You can start scoping together a folder and pulling together some information and start informing yourself. So when we're talking about this, when we talk about high potential and the fast track scheme, what is the National Police Fast Track Program? Well, I've alluded to some of it. I've alluded to some of the thoughts that people have about it. Previously, it was the High Potential Development Scheme, HPDS. It doesn't really matter what they call them. All the schemes get renamed, rebadged, reworked. Essentially, we're talking about talent management. And again, you know, there's a whole load of connotations around that, talent management and high potential. Well, you have talent and you have high potential. But as with everybody who has that, it is there to be developed. And that is about you applying yourself full on to being the best that you can be so that you can hopefully realise that potential through processes for formal leadership positions in policing, all of which are competitive, all of which have posts, less posts than, you know, candidates applying for them, ergo competition. So in some forces, highly, highly, highly competitive. And the fast track scheme is also very highly competitive for people. So what is the National Fast Track Program? There's a really good kind of quote. This one's by a guy called Rob Liano, which I quite like to when I think about the fast track scheme. Exploit your talents, skills and strengths. Make the world sit up and take notice. No one can discover you until you do. And I think that's a fantastic insight into the kind of gap, if you like, or the gaps that people have and that they have to fill in order to continue their leadership development journey from the point they made that decision. And this is you, you know, if you made that decision, I think I've got potential to lead other people. Then, you know, that's a great quote. Exploit your talents, skills and strengths. Make the world sit up and take notice. No one can discover you until you do. So that last bit about discovering you is very much around your CPD and where you are with that at the moment, how importantly you treat that. And if I was to ask you, what does your CPD plan look like? Where is it? Is it tangible? And how is it helping you? How are you improving? So that's a great quote. But what is the National Police Fast Track Programme going off down a kind of rabbit hole there? So talent management is about identifying and developing and retaining individuals who have high potential for the future, often for senior levels of the organisation. And the Police Fast Track Scheme or programme is overseen by the College of Policing. And it supports the most talented police constables through an accelerated police promotion scheme. So it enables and supports successful candidates on the scheme to progress to the rank of inspector within 2 years. And the overall aim of the Fast Track is to engage and support individuals with leadership potential to reach at least the rank of superintendent during their service. So the assessment centre, the assessment processes are very much, very closely designed to reflect the skills required by a superintendent and to reflect the role description and functions and dimensions of that role through tests, whether they are policing related in the assessment centre or not. And whether you aspire to progress on this high pressure talent management scheme within policing or not, all police promotion candidates can learn from it, which is why I'm doing this podcast now, because there are a lot of parallels, there are a lot of areas in relation to development and a lot of points that you may well pick up. So even if you're not going for Fast Track and you're going for the generic route, you may well pick up some insights from what I'm saying. So a detailed overview of the Fast Track programme is available for any aspiring officer who wants to start preparing ahead of opportunity. And as I alluded to earlier, the scheme opens in October with the National Fast Track Assessment Centre taking place in the following March. So during that time, the scheme opens up and forces have people applying, and they may well put you through a pre-process before recommending you to attend as a member of the force, a candidate for the force for the National Fast Track Assessment Centre. So how do you apply for it? Well, for those who do apply, selection is tough, it's robust, it's competitive, as I alluded to, and anyone interested in applying should first complete, and certainly the last time I looked, there was a high potential development tool which you can download. Have a look at my blog. On my blog site, ranksuccess.co.uk, there is a blog called High Potential and Fast Track Success, and it's got a couple of links there through to the College of Policing. So whatever they call the documents, whatever they call the support information, if it's changed, there will be links there for you to kind of follow this up. So the first formal stage of the Fast Track programme is then the National Application Form, and that requires candidates to demonstrate evidence of the behaviours aligned with the competency and values framework and the four values in the competency and values framework. So many candidates also, as I said, face additional local selection tests, including interviews, a presentation, all before being recommended. So you've got to be quite resilient in order to be put forward by your force to attend the next step. And again, in relation to developing candidates, some forces do very little at all. They may do a kind of info session to familiarise people. And others, such as the Metropolitan Police, they have a great positive action scheme where they really do put candidates through an opportunity, if you like, to practice, to get some feedback and to reflect the tests, the assessment tests that candidates will face. So again, the support varies between schemes, but what I would say is whichever force you're in, there is a lot of support available. You can find out a lot of information and you can develop yourself in time for an assessment process. So with that in mind, the College of Policing also do a national Fast Track Assessment Centre overview document. So that's something you can download or acquire from the College of Policing. It's a good overview, as it says in the document. It talks about a summary of the scheme, an overview of the selection process, what the Fast Track National Assessment Centre is, where it's held, the particular competencies and values that are assessed across which exercises, and there's generally seven exercises in the assessment centre. I'll touch on some of them in a bit. How will I be assessed is answered in there. How are the exercises designed? What are the exercises? How do I determine whether I'm successful? When will I get my results? And how will I receive feedback on my performance? I mean, I could go on, but that's a great little overview document that you can get hold of yourself from the College of Policing, which I think will put you in a good place in terms of an overview. And so that's something you can do now if you wanted to do. And then when you are successful at the National Assessment Centre, the next process or next part of it is that you're offered a place on the Fast Track programme by your force. You will then undertake a two-year development programme at sergeant rank, and subject to satisfactory pass at the national exam, the MPPF exam, you know, you will be put onto the scheme. But that's, if you think about it, that's a massive local and national effort for someone to pass this rigorous selection process. So are you still interested? Okay, right, if you're still interested, then I'll carry on then. But it is a significant undertaking. But if you've got high potential and you've got a thirst and a hunger for developing yourself and for knowledge and for learning, then great. Let's have a look at what high potential is, because the only time I've ever seen a really good description of it, and it's only is by the College of Policing, who actually describe it in a little graphic, and I'll go through that in a minute, but I haven't seen it anywhere else, and I certainly haven't seen it in any of the generic promotion processes, which is why I allude and refer to and signpost and direct candidates for sergeant and inspector boards and chief inspector boards through normal processes to it in my digital downloads. So my digital download toolkits for sergeant, inspector, chief inspector, and on the promotion masterclass that you can download from my site, you will see the high potential information, some thoughts on it, and I'm now going to talk about it as well. So you know, if you're wondering about how you can do this, how you can move on, and you probably think, well, in relation to the sergeant and inspector toolkits, what's that all about, Steve? Because we're talking about Fast Track. Well, of course, in simple terms, if you're going for Fast Track, what's the role of a sergeant? Okay, and what's the role of an inspector? Okay, and then when you're successful on the Fast Track, how are you going to develop yourself for superintendent? So my toolkits take you through that process to knock on the door of the role of where you're putting yourself through the Fast Track process, and when you're successful, to get to what the scheme's designed to enable, which is your promotion to superintendent in 6 years, and potentially to go on beyond it. So very much a continuation process, and I will read out a couple of testimonials towards the end of this, where people can share with you via my voice, but their words, their comments, their experience of applying for Fast Track, being successful, and what got them there. Okay, so what's high potential? Again, I love quotes. You'll probably find quotes throughout all my blogs, all my podcasts, all my YouTube videos. So here's a great one. What is high potential? And there's a great quote by Sir Tom Whitmore. People rarely travel far enough along the path of development to realise their full potential. What a quote that is. Because I really do agree. There are lots of people there in that quote who have failed to travel far enough along the path of development to realise their full potential for lots of different reasons. But leadership certainly is a lifelong journey of insights and reflections into yourself, into processes, into people, into human nature, into what you're capable of. And I just think that's all encapsulated there in that quote, which applies to people of any rank, any position, any leadership role. Quite like that. People rarely travel far enough along the path of development to realise their full potential. And that is what this Fast Track scheme is about. It's about helping you to realise your full potential. And interestingly, although you're providing evidence and examples in your application form for the process, for the national process, you are being assessed for your potential, not on that evidence alone. You're being assessed on how you think, how you write, how it comes across. And through the exercises, you know, realizing that potential and giving the opportunity through the scheme to kind of to develop it. Okay, so high potential describes individuals with innate skills and motivation necessary to help lead an organization to a better future. High potential individuals aspire to assume more responsibilities and are rigorously absorbed with their work, sharing certain characteristics including aspiration, ability, and engagement. Those who possess high potential are sometimes described as rising stars, and the challenge for policing, as with all other organisations, is to engage, retain and develop these people or otherwise risk losing them. And the Police Fast Track Scheme or programme is designed to do just that. So accordingly, the initial focus of the Fast Track Scheme is on potential, not performance. Okay, so when you look at that, you know, it talks about certain characteristics including aspiration, ability and engagement. I'd throw into that mix as well a whole load of stuff like energy, drive, enthusiasm, motivation, determination, resilience. All of those things are required in with that mix as well, because you're unlikely to succeed or to get through the process without those attributes, if you like. So have a think about that. Think about whether you have that. Certainly the people that I've kind of worked with and supported, who have bought my guides, downloaded my products, had conversations on the phone, supportive conversations as I call them, they've certainly had that in reserve. They've had resilience in reserves. And in with there as well, just as a little observation, I mean, some people go, oh, I find, you know, arrogance. I've not talked about arrogance. Well, sometimes in amongst all that, there is a degree of cockiness and arrogance when people think they've got all those other attributes as well. And sometimes part of developing over a period of time is to be a little bit more humble, to kind of tone that down. And the process, by taking on board other people's perspectives, ideas, opening yourself up to having an inclusive approach to leadership and understanding that, you know, there are different ways of leading at different times with different audiences to achieve different aims. And what we're getting into now is just how you think about, yeah, you might have all that energy, drive, enthusiasm, determination. But arrogance, I think, is something you do see. But it's just part of the mix. And for me, my way of thinking about arrogance is that it's sometimes just a cloak or a disguise for insecurity and uncertainty. And guess what? People are a bit insecure and uncertain when they go for processes like this. And they do have what I call a wobble, if you like. I do get phone calls from people saying, look, Steve, I'm having a crisis. I'm having a little bit of a wobble here about whether I can really do this. And sometimes a couple of those people have been quite cocky and arrogant to start with. You know, I've been supportive of this scheme. I've had opportunities. I'm really looking forward to doing it. And then they have this crisis of confidence. So, and that's entirely natural. But you can do all that and think through all that and start preparing and reading through all the stuff you need to. And just reflect on some of those attributes that I've mentioned and think about which ones describe you, which ones are your strengths. And if you, you know, a strengths-based interview or a consideration of your strengths is a great way of really thinking through and preparing for whether you're ready to go for something like this. So the VIA strengths test is something you can do online. You'll find that on my site and on the assessment tests page, or you'll find it in my blogs, but it's the VIA strengths-based 24 strengths test. You can find that online for free, and it will generate a personalised report about what your strengths are for you to reflect upon and think through. And, you know, for some people, there's a bit of a Scooby-Doo moment where they go, oh, I didn't know that about myself. Really? I didn't really think that strength would have been at number one or number two or so far down the list. So again, there are lots and lots and lots of insight tools, development tools that are free that you can start this process, this journey of discovery about yourself to help you kind of get match fit ahead of a process, whether it's generic sergeant or inspector process, or for something like the fast track scheme. So, you know, when you talk about the high potential scheme, there is the high potential development tool, which is a kind of helpful document to ascertain if you're eligible to apply for the fast track program and if you think you have the relevant skills. So, you know, part of those free resources I just talked to you about, together with my own downloadable toolkits, it may be that you have a different opinion after working through those to answer those questions. Yes, I do have the relevant skills and I'd still like to apply. So it's still natural, obviously, to have questions before deciding if the scheme is right for you. And, you know, they might include things like, you know, as I've talked about, what is high potential? How do I know if I have it? Where can I get guidance? And hopefully we're starting to touch on some of that now in this podcast. Either way, you know, the document provides all police promotion candidates with a different way of looking at some of the CVF competencies, indicating desired leadership skills that are sought or required or expected in those with high potential. So just that, what is high potential? You have it. I believe in the potential of every individual that I speak to, even if they don't themselves, to start with. And part of the role of a coach is to build, self-confidence, awareness, and, you know, to help people to kind of develop that broader thinking and awareness by asking questions. So whether it's through my downloadable toolkits, which are full of questions, you know, I can't teach you anything in those guides, and I don't seek to. But you can learn a lot from them, because in them I seek to support and to challenge and to respectfully provoke your thinking around the topic of leadership, the context of policing, and you realising your full potential to get to where you want to go to. And that is why those resources, as well as some of the others I've talked about, are particularly helpful. So I talked about and alluded earlier on to the indicators of high potential, and the high potential development tool talks about this, and it's the first time I've really seen a helpful graphic or a helpful description laying out what the indicators of high potential are. And they include emotional intelligence, which is one of the competencies in the competency and values framework, and, you know, broader thinking and awareness. So that's certainly what they want from someone who's potentially going for superintendent, ultimately, or has the potential to be promoted. So they test that broader thinking and awareness through the selection process. You'll also find a really good kind of blog. Did I just describe one of my blogs as really good there? I did, but it's called Thinking Outside De Bono, and it talks about Edward De Bono's approach to thinking and the six different thinking hats. So again, that's one of the ways for you to develop yourself now, before, you know, you don't have to decide about going for fast track this year. You might decide, hey, you know, it's too soon for me, but next year, and I can do a whole load of development around that. So De Bono is one of those ways in which you can start thinking. He talks about metaphorical thinking hats, and you think, well, have I lost my mind, am I going down a rabbit hole here? But have a look at it. It's called Thinking Outside De Bono, and it alludes to Edward De Bono's six different ways of thinking, if you like, with these metaphorical hats on. So thinking only positively, thinking only emotionally, thinking only in a innovative way. So, and each of those hats have different colours to reflect the thinking. Just have a look at the blog and then think through your approach to the fast track and whether you think it's right for you using each of those hats. It's a good little exercise. It's free, and it's something you can do with a notepad and pen and a cup of coffee, and have a check up from the neck up, if you like, with yourself afterwards, and see whether it helped or whether you say, no, I did go down that rabbit hole in this podcast. So, but aspiring candidates can align their skills and their abilities against the descriptors, if you like, for indicators of high potential as part of a, if you like, a mature self-assessment exercise. Which I would suggest and encourage you to conduct ahead of any process, any promotion process. So the graphic, if you like, that I'm talking about talks about the indicators of high potential within the police service, and it's a bit like a self-checklist. So the graphic I quite like because it talks about three columns: cognitive capacity, leadership and communication, and personal drive. And you will find the graphic in some of my blogs. I've used it with permission of the, reproduced it with the permission of the College of Policing. But I quite like it. I think it's really good, and I think it's a great assessment tool for you to think through and to kind of align yourself against each one of the boxes. So there's three main columns. The first one is cognitive capacity, the second one is leadership and communication, and the third one is personal drive. And just lingering on that one for a minute, personal drive, two words. And I think they're really, really important, because I alluded to some of the attributes earlier on: drive, determination, enthusiasm, but they actually describe what personal drive is. So I'll come back to that in a minute. But cognitive capacity, the first column, broader thinking and awareness. People keep abreast of what goes on internally within the service as well as externally. So people with high potential do that. They consider the wider issues in a situation and the impact that these have on the work of the police, whether that's financial, social and political. They're able to see interconnections between tasks and how their work fits into the wider aims of the organisation. And they demonstrate longer term thinking and are able to see beyond the initial issues in a situation. So in that little box under that column, they describe for you what the expectation is that they expect to see from you as a candidate, which is why I think it's really helpful. And clearly that's why they've designed it. But you know, people read it differently, and some people never read it at all. As I said, it doesn't even appear in the generic sergeants and inspectors and chief inspectors literature, as far as I'm aware. It certainly didn't do every time I've looked. And I think that's a shame, because it's quite insightful and enlightening. So the little box underneath that one is about problem-solving capacity. People with high potential are able to assimilate information quickly and understand what's been asked of them without needing much direction. They consider risks as part of their decision making and reach logical and clear decisions. Their professional competence allows them to make effective, quick decisions under pressure. So, problem solving capacity and decision making. Well, that's about the NDM in a nutshell, isn't it? So, if this was me, and it isn't me, it's you, but I'm just kind of expressing some of my thoughts here, I would slam dunk the NDM by the side of that. And from that, you know that you've got examples of where you've done that, made effective decisions, considered risk in relation to a problem. Boom, there you go, you've got something to focus in on and look at what evidence or examples you've got that you may have to offer in an application. Okay, implementing change, still under the cognitive capacity column. Implementing change, they come up with new and innovative ideas about how services could be delivered differently. They recognise when there is a need for change and when to stick with the status quo. They have the ability to drive change, influencing key stakeholders and knowing what needs doing to deliver this effectively. So implementing change. And again, in my downloadable digital guide, you'll find some useful, helpful information to shape and support your thinking around change and human reactions to change. So, you know, bystanders, critics, navigators, victims, etc. And if you're any doubt around any of that, you, as a candidate for promotion or fast track, you're a navigator of change. And there's lots of other change models you can think through, but implementing change is a key function of cognitive capacity. So that's quite a good graphic, if you like, to deliver a lot of information and for you to then do an assessment against. Now, I will whip through the other two columns because you can find it yourself. It's actually in the leadership development tool. It's also in my blogs. It's also in my toolkits. So I'm not going to spend too much time other than I recommend and signpost you and direct you to this, because I won't use the term wonderful, but in terms of one graphic, it's very, very helpful and as a great overview. So under the leadership and communication column in the middle, they talk about influential leadership and what that means. An inspirational role model. People with high potential are inspirational role models. Emotional intelligence, well, that's a biggie. Have a look at my blogs. I've written a couple of blogs on emotional intelligence, emotional awareness, because if you want to get on in leadership today, not just in policing but elsewhere, if you don't have emotional intelligence, according to Daniel Goleman, you're unlikely to get very far. And certainly you're not going to be able to lead people in a way they need to be led if you don't possess an understanding and some of the attributes from emotional intelligence, which include self-awareness. So, and the last one under there is effective and adaptable communication. So, you know, are you able to shape your communication and, and deliver your leadership to different audiences in different ways at different times? So do you understand communication? Are you effective and adaptable at how you do that? And are you able to articulate yourself in front of any audience? And I said I'd come back to the personal drive one. I quite like that. I quite like also the way they met, the Metropolitan Police. If they don't still do it now, they certainly used to do it when I first started doing this. They say, well, if you're going for promotion, have you got drive, determination, energy, enthusiasm? If you haven't got that, we don't want you. And they never said it that way, but they might as well have done, because when you read their document, it's a bit like, if you haven't got this, think again. You might need to go away and develop yourself and come back with some of it. Because if you think about it, if you haven't got it now, then when you're promoted as a sergeant, inspector, chief inspector, or whatever, you know, you're not going to have it then. So that's why it's tested in processes. And I quite like this one here, personal drive. Committed to self-development. Consciously acknowledge their own development needs and are willing to take action to address them. So unsurprisingly, people will want to see how you are improving, how you're developing, what your CPD plan looks like now, what it looks like this year, and what it looks like for the next couple of years. What do you hope, what do you intend to achieve, what are you working towards? And clearly the fast track scheme might be part of that process. So focus on delivery. Clearly policing's about delivering for communities, for people, providing access to policing services, best working practices, and you know, you're willing, that the individuals are willing to go above and beyond what's expected to get the job done. So focus on delivery, have a think about that. But again, I like these little boxes because you can put a whole load of your thoughts against them, what are in your head already or through your development process, how you change your thinking. And constructive ambition is the last one. Someone with high potential stands out from the crowd due to their influence on peers without having to highlight their own achievements. They're highly motivated to achieve for their team, their force, and their self, and they're motivated by an ambition to be a good leader, not just for the status or rank. Well, that's a really good one, and I'll leave you to think your own thoughts around that. But there's nothing wrong with healthy ambition. You know, I think it might be difficult for some people to evidence that they stand out from the crowd due to their influence on peers. So if you're reading that and think, oh, is that what they're looking for? Then, you know, it's just guidance. It's just an overview. It's just a descriptor of what the indicators are of high potential within the service. You don't have to have all those attributes. I'd like to meet the person that does have them. But it's something you can form a mature self-assessment against that graphic, and see where you are now, where you can be, and what you need to do to develop to get match fit. Okay, so that's that one done. If I just do a little whiz through very, very quickly about, you know, as I've just to summarise before I kind of bring this podcast to a close. The aim of the assessment centre that you attend is to measure your suitability for the programme, including your potential to reach at least the rank of superintendent in the police service. So generally within about 6 years. So you'll be promoted to sergeant in the first year, a couple of years, then to inspector, and then you'll be knocking on the door superintendent, or expected to be, around about 6 years. That's what the ideal is for the scheme. Does everybody go on to be a superintendent? I don't think so. They may bail out after being inspectors and enjoy it. You've got to find a balance in life. Some people are more, you know, going back to that constructive ambition, some are more ambitious, Some actually have other priorities, other values. Some people are able to, you know, mix and match family life and home life and career together. And others, there's an imbalance there. Career is more important than other things. So who gets there in the end determines, is determined by, you know, continuity and understanding your values and pursuing them accordingly. During the assessment centre, you will be assessed against all of the competencies and values within the competency and values framework, and you'll see and be able to see a breakdown of how that's done when you're provided with your instructions and through the national overview document. And there are some, you know, there is, as I said, some work to get to do now to start thinking about and to raise your ability to think strategically. So what is strategic thinking? Well, pop across to ranksuccess.co.uk, have a look at my blogs, and I've actually put some blogs there around developing your strategic thinking, and they may be very helpful. I would encourage you to read them if you're thinking about going for fast track, because they talk about developing your strategic thinking, what that might look like. And of course, if you just want to hit the ground running, you can download my digital toolkits for inspector to chief inspector, which covers all of these things, because part of this scheme really is around you recognizing before you go into it that yes, you're going for a scheme that's designed to put you at superintendent level, but just stepping back from that a little minute and peddling back from that, you go for sergeant first. What's that role about? What's inspector role about? And chief inspector, so the inspecting ranks. What is the transition in terms of your development that you will go through? So as a sergeant inspector, you may well be very good technically at policing, but as you go through to the senior ranks, you will, if in fact, you know, the language I use, crossing the Rubicon, you will cross the Rubicon across from technical skills through to more relationship and trust and facing outwards, building relationships, skills and abilities. And again, all of those are alluded to in the blog and in my toolkits. So have a look at those and just have a think about how, you know, now you looking forward, you will play out that skills development profile, if you like, as part of your development in order to meet expectations, what's required at different times at different ranks. So there are some priority areas that they talk about, and they're really good priority areas for you to start thinking about and researching now as part of your if you like, your preparation portfolio, if you like, ahead of any assessment centre or decision by you to apply for the fast track scheme or promotion generally. And things like managing culture change, increasing the innovative use of technology. What do you know about technology at the moment? Increasing diversity and valuing difference. Well, again, I've written a whole, I think it was a trilogy of blogs on diversity, inclusion, equality and inclusion on my site, which are free for you to read through, cover a whole vast load of ground and recognise the fact that that is particularly important in policing as a topic at the moment, to the point where, you know, people going for sergeants and inspectors boards are having a additional interview, a pre-interview for half an hour before they then go into their main promotion board to be asked and answer questions around diversity, equality and inclusion. Improving public confidence, ding ding, name of the game. How are you going to do that? How will you do that leading a team? What are the current issues facing policing at the moment? What are the issues facing public confidence at the moment? How do you know that? Where have you got that information from? So there's lots and lots of signposts and direction in my guides and in my blogs for you to be able to look at these and do some research, even if it's just a little box, a little paragraph on each, to erase your awareness and understanding. Improving and expanding victim care. What do you know about that? How do you do that? What are the issues, the challenges? Tackling organised crime. So there's some of the bigger, wider strategic issues. What are the links between organised crime at neighbourhood, force, national level, and vice versa? Understanding and responding to increased demands. What is demand? How do you know? What types of demand are there? You know, reactive demand, proactive demand, hidden demand. What do you know about these issues? Protecting vulnerable people from harm. This is another massive one. Tackling child sexual exploitation. Countering terrorism. tackling sexual violence, tackling cybercrime, violence against women. I mean, I could go on, but there are priorities, and it's good for you to kind of have a look at some of the strategic priorities facing policing at the moment, some of the other priorities, and then develop an overview for yourself, which will stand you in good stead for a assessment process like the fast track process. So the exercises that you will face in there very quickly are oral briefing. So you'll have an oral briefing exercise, a written in-tray exercise, a performance management exercise, a partnership meeting exercise, and a values exercise. And you will find lots of information in my digital downloadable guides on values. I've done some videos, some podcasts on values, just to kind of help you visit that, because it can be quite difficult, quite challenging to talk about values. And I do lots and lots of exercises with people around values. And the number one thing, if we're talking about priorities, that they always leave out is their health. They never ever prioritise their health as a value. And yet it's probably one of the most important things. So again, the other values are the values in the competency and values framework. You can throw a whole load of others in there: integrity, honesty, fairness, respect, leadership's a value. What do you know about values? How are your values? And how do you know? And how are you going to use those values as a leader? So we could go on forever with those as well. But these are some of the issues to get you into a kind of match fit mindset to develop your potential as you go forward. Okay, a couple of other exercises: presentation and interview, and cognitive ability exercise or tests are in there as well. So, okay, so that's an overview. I mean, the last thing I was going to do was just literally go through a couple of successes, a case studies, because I think it's always interesting for you to be able to look at some people's exercises and experiences as they've done all that I've just been talking about. And everybody's different, so people approach this differently. Some people have been unsuccessful at sergeant promotion processes before they've gone for this. They're still constables and they want to go for the fast track process. And it's quite interesting because you know, when we talk about people's energy and drive and enthusiasm, you know, we know that everybody's different, and some people, in terms of the constructive ambition, the growth mindset, so that's one of the things you'll find talk about Carol Dweck's growth mindset. Carol Dweck is the authority on the growth mindset, fixed mindsets. But you'll find that some candidates are just, I don't know, it's a bit like whack-a-mole. You remember that game, whack-a-mole, in the showgrounds or the fairgrounds, where you have a rubber kind of mallet, if you like, and these little kind of creatures pop up out of the holes, and you've got to hit them every time. Sometimes it's really, really hard to keep people down. So they're unsuccessful in promotion processes, and they still keep popping up. They still keep coming forward with resilience, determination. They still want to learn. They still want to achieve that goal. They say, okay, how can I approach this differently now? What did I learn from the last process? I believe I can get better. And all of those are indicators of, you know, the growth mindset, as opposed to the fixed mindset, where people give up or don't think they can do any better. And so I'm always, always inspired by people like that, who sometimes come to my, when I did my face-to-face masterclasses, they come and they tell me these stories, how they've been unsuccessful, and they've been told they haven't got what it takes in their feedback. And my first approach with that is rubbish. That's just a snapshot of feedback at that time by people witnessing your performance or your ability at that time. And then when we sit down and we go through it, people, so the individual I'm thinking about now, came and decided that they'd got lots of gaps. A lot of those had hopefully had pointers to be able to fill them, but they left the masterclass with the intention of going for fast track. Not only did they go for fast track, they passed it, and passed it very well. So never ever believe that your feedback on these kind of tests, these cognitive tests, these insights, are you. They're just a snapshot in time of how you were at that time in relation to giving it your best for a test. It's how we learn, it's how we grow. Failure is an important part of success. So with that in mind, and I just wanted to read out a couple of things. So There's a little quote here by Gary Vaynerchuk, and those that you follow him on social media, you'll know he's an entrepreneur. He's into lots and lots and lots of things about helping people learn and grow and develop, and marketing. But here's one of his quotes: "If you aspire to great things, it's going to be hard, but it's supposed to be hard." And I quite like that as well, because that really summarizes, you know, the approach to what I was just talking about, going for fast track. You know, it's going to be hard, but it's supposed to be hard, and it is a testing experience. So officers that are aspiring to promotion need different levels and methods of support. You know, as I say, some might download a digital promotion toolkit or the masterclass, and they're able then to hit the ground running, and they can take it from there. We're all different. Some just need some signposting direction. It helps fill the gaps, and then off with their own experiences and drive and determination and levels of confidence, and they just go ahead and do it. Others may seek additional one-to-one support prior to a promotion opportunity, and the opportunity to do a bit of a deeper dive, a bit like this podcast, a bit of a deeper dive to explore any specific skills or to help build their confidence. So my aim really is to challenge and provoke thinking around achieving promotion. And the whole topic of promotion and selection can be demystified for candidates. As I say, to the point that some constables see the fast track program in a whole new light. And occasionally that penny drops, and, you know, individuals have enhanced ambitions, and sometimes it's just a result of reading something or working their way through something. So, you know, there is a cliche that some people dream of success and others wake up and work hard for it. It is a cliche, but it's nearer to the truth, I suppose. Some people dream of success and others wake up and work hard for it. Okay, so in my experience of helping officers work hard for it, those who attempt the fast track process, in my experience, tend to back themselves. They're all in gambling terms. They may not have everything worked out yet or be able to see all the steps ahead, but they're happy to work without certainty or guarantees. I can't certainly offer either of those, and they know that. A growth mindset is usually evident, as I said, with people often having previous setbacks or failures on their development path, but they're not afraid to take a risk. They want to mitigate the risk of failure, this time probably, by seeking support to raise their awareness, close the knowledge gaps, and incrementally boost their personal confidence. Paying for some support is seen by them more as a return on investment, an investment in their personal growth and development. And here's the point really with the fast track scheme as well, the increased salary that comes with promotion. And maybe that takes on a different slant today with, you know, a forecast recession, or as a way of somebody significantly increasing their income by applying themselves to a process such as the fast track or other promotion routes. As I said before, I never fail to be inspired personally by every individual who attempts the fast track program, no matter what the outcome. It's a significant challenge, no guarantees, and I personally take my hat off to every officer who succeeds. And for anyone, as I've said, if you're interested in applying, I wanted to just go through a couple of very short case studies. I do go off down rabbit holes, don't I? I just went down one a little while, but I've ended up back where I am, which is around a case study. And again, this one's called A Strange Beast. And I've called it A Strange Beast because that's what the candidate describes in her feedback. And this candidate particularly reminded me of a quote by Amelia Earhart, the famous pioneering pilot: "You can act to change your life. The process is its own reward." Now, this individual was a working mum, full-time officer, who had been unsuccessful in promotion processes before. And this is some feedback that I was provided with very kindly, and I'll put my own insight, if you like, after that. Police promotion is a strange beast, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, it's about being able to tackle this beast. Once you'd helped me get my head around that, my approach was my own victory. I felt completely different and my mind in a new, different place. Your help has been vital to my success. I'm over the moon to report that having dipped the sergeant interview twice, I've only gone and nailed the force fast track interview. I passed all 5 competency areas and I also passed the College of Policing's fast track process. Just 6 candidates from my force passed, from 165 original applicants. I'm incredibly proud of myself and grateful for your support to help me realise my dreams. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? And it signifies the journey that that particular individual had been through. And I'd be surprised if, you know, many people had that level of resilience and determination and a growth mindset that reflects to get through all of that, including 2 previous sergeant's processes. So, as I said, I'm always inspired. How can you not be inspired by a kind of journey like that? And my own insight that I've kind of put on there is that, you know, the fact that the individual feels completely different and with their mind in a new and different place, pretty powerful stuff. So the mind shift is a good start, but, you know, I encourage every attendee, if you like, or every customer of mine to kick into massive learning mode prior to any process. And that means incorporating specific materials, aids, mnemonics, to help structure your wider preparation. And to have a plan, you know, it helps you maintain momentum over the months that you will be preparing. With this particular individual, we kept in touch via email and phone to discuss progress and where she was at any one point in time, and around the enforced selection process, and a one-to-one session over Skype a couple of weeks ahead of the National Assessment Centre just helped with some final refinements to this officer's approach. So that's why I get inspired. That's why I'm inspired by stories like that, and just how hard it is for some people to succeed and to prevail in the system. So there's one last one that I wanted to go through very quickly, and this one is I'll just have a quick look. This one is called Working Smarter, Not Harder, and I just want to say a huge thank you. I heard today I've successfully earned a place on the Fast Track PC to Inspector scheme. This was wholly due to me working smarter, not harder, thanks to the combination of your extremely informative application guides, blogs, and excellent promotion workshop. I particularly enjoyed your Perseverance blog. I've been there when attempting to progress laterally. The guides, the digital toolkits, helped clarify what was actually required of me for each rank, and to develop my presentation skills, an area of significant dread, but even less than the crippling fear of having nothing to say at my interview. I will no doubt use your materials and approach again during my challenging program to achieve promotion to inspector, and your comments and positive outlook really resonated with me. I'm very happy to report success, even though this is my first time in applying. So this individual I first met at a promotion masterclass, but the individual had met me before through my toolkits, and which had informed the decision to book onto the masterclass. And it's evident that they picked up a lot of value from that, and not least about understanding exactly where for them they needed to focus their effort. And that made the difference to succeeding first time. So, I mean, I could go on, I could read you others, but I mean, I think I said a while back, I'll be bringing this podcast to a close. As I said, I enjoy going down these rabbit holes. I do pop up for air from time to time. And I hope that you found it informative. I'm aware that my dulcet, brummy tones can resonate with some people. And for others, you know, well, I'll leave it there. But it is the best accent. So wherever you are on your promotion journey, I wish you all the very best. As I say, if you're thinking about Fast Track, think about it. You know, it's a good way, and hopefully this podcast has helped you to do that and provide some of the background to that. I've alluded to lots of kind of resources that you can find to help you develop that approach, and just understand that, you know, you might not have that potential now, but if you decided excuse me, that you wanted to go for, the fast track or for promotion in a year or two's time, then at least you've picked up some insights, hopefully, from this podcast and the food for thought that it contains to help you on your leadership journey. So, with that in mind, I'm going to go and have a cup of tea, and I wish you all the very best, and I'll be back with another podcast shortly. Thank you. Bye.